Morning. Today's daf Pesachim Nun Gimel. We're on Nun Beis Amud Beis. We are about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words of Rabbi Elai. A lot of discussion that we had recently in the daf regarding Perish Shvius. Why are we dealing with Perish Shvius here in Masecht Pesachim? Because we're talking about Minhagim. Here in the fourth parak of Pesachim. So our topic of discussion has been Minhagim. And there are different Minhagim in different communities. And when you travel from one community to another, so how should you conduct yourself? So that has been the discussion since the beginning of the Perek. Perek began back on Daf Nun. And as we are now here on Daf Nun Gimel, we're continuing our discussion regarding Minhagim. The first Minhag that we spoke about was whether or not we should be doing work on the morning of Erev Pesach, the afternoon after Chatzos. There's a halacha, there's an Isser, that one's not allowed to do malacha. But in the morning of Erev Pesach, so there's Minhagim. So some communities have a minhag to work, some don't. And the discussion that we've had, for the most part, has been what happens when you travel from a community, from one community to another. Which minhag should you adopt? The one that you are in, the one that you came from. What exactly is the status of such an individual? The Mishnah took us now to a second minhag, and the minhag, second minhag of the Mishnah, was Perish Shvius. Now, Perish Shvius has what's called the Shasbir. There's a point in time where there is an obligation to, and I'm going to say like the Rambam, simple. Although not everyone's in agreement with the Rambam, just to say it simply, there's a point in time where you have to destroy the Perish Shvius, right? While the fruit is still out in the field, so there is a heter to eat Perish Shvius. Maybe more than a heter, maybe a mitzvah to eat Perish Shvius, but regardless, those fruit that grew during the seventh year, you didn't plow, you didn't harvest, you didn't do any of the work of the field, but trees produced during the seventh year. So all the fruit that grows during the seventh year have Kedushas Perish Shvius. And while the fruit is still out in the field and the vegetables, so then you're allowed to eat them. And again, it may be a mitzvah. After, however, the Shas Beer, after the time where it's no longer out in the field, so then there's a mitzvah of beer. And according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of beer is destroying. Again, as I pointed out already a couple of times, the Rishonim are not in agreement with the Rambam exactly what to do at the time of beer, but just to say the Gemara nice and simple, so there's a time to destroy it. So what if you're going from one community to another, one community where there was a Shas Beer, and another community where there was not a Shas Beer? So what do you do? So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says, Chayiv Levayir, you have to destroy. And Rav Yehuda said, Steva Avelecha Afata. Now, if you remember yesterday's daf, that line of Rav Yehuda was cryptic and really unclear. So in yesterday's daf, we went through a number of pshatim. I count them as four, but whatever. There are four pshatim in terms of what exactly Rav Yehuda meant. Okay, but our discussion has been revolved around Perish Shvius. The last discussion that we had in yesterday's daf was regarding the mitzvah of Biur. Let's say you take the Perish of Shvius and you bring him outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Shas Biur has come about. Do you have to go back in to Eretz Yisrael, and do you have to destroy them in Eretz Yisrael? So it's a machlokas. Machlokas Tanayim, machlokas Amarim, exactly out of Paskin. Good, that was our last discussion. We're continuing now in the Gemara. On and Beis and Beis, more discussion regarding Perish Shvius. Well, this morning we're going to be wrapping up our discussion in Perish Shvius. When we get to the next Mishnah, we focus on different Minhagim, various Minhagim. Rabbi Elai, Katz Kafnasa de Shvius. So we start off with a simple story, and one that is going to be controversial. Rabbi Elai cut down a date tree during the Shemitah year. Now, cutting down a date tree during the Shemitah year, the issue is that as the Gemara itself is about to point out, the issue is that the dates on the date tree has Kedushas Shvius, and he's cutting it down, and he's cutting down for the lumber, right? You look at the Rashi over here. Rashi writes, as soon as I find it, right? Katz Kavnasi de Shvius. Rashi is the first wide line. So Dekel Talon Kafnios Vehin Tamarim Kitanim. So the word Kafna Kafnios. So we're going to see that a couple times this morning. So they're small dates. Shelo Bishlu, not fully ripened, describes Rashi. And he needed lumber, so he cut down the wood for the lumber, and all this fruit now that had Kedusha Shvius that need to have been eaten, so we're not eaten, and that's going to be the controversy. Oddly enough, what the Gemara doesn't ask is a question that we're probably all thinking, and that is, you're cutting down a fruit tree, you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. Right, pasuk in Chumash and Parsha Shoftim. You can't cut down a fruit tree. It's right. We call this a baltashkes. But anyway, you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. So the Gemara didn't ask Stam. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. The Gemara doesn't mention a word about it. So Tosus is not here. Tosus in Brachos. So Tosus says that baltashkes, you have to You have to balance a little bit in terms of whether it's Baal Tashchis or not Baal Tashchis. Meaning if the value of the wood exceeds the value of the fruit, so then Tosus writes over there that's not going to be an Isser Baal Tashchis. So to just simply say that every time you cut down a fruit tree, it's Baal Tashchis is not true. Basically, you have to take out a balance sheet to see whether or not it is violating or not violating this or Baal Tashchis. Anyway, fine. So we're putting Baal Tashchis aside. The Gemara doesn't mention it over here. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that it's during the Shemitah year, and all those dates now are going to be lost during the Shemitah year. You're not allowed to do that. Hey, Chiyavid Hachi, we're back in the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, what's he doing? La'achlam, rachmanav, lo lehefsin. You have to eat the Perishvies. You can't destroy the Perishvies. What's Rabbi Eli doing? V'chite mahani Okay, so the Gemara says, so I imagine, I think I know what you're going to say. So you're going to tell me that the fruit are really small, and so therefore they're not developed yet. They don't have the status of a pre. And in this really early stage of development, so there's no problem whatsoever. The Gemara says, but I don't think that's true. V'amar av Nachman, amar av abaravu ahani, mitzchali dar la asiri, hovan asa shama lapri, v'shama lapri emas hava b'kufri, v'kakari le peri. So the Gemara puts a bunch of pieces of information together that gets us to the idea that even at a really early development of stage, it has the status of a pre. You start off with a statement of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman quotes in the name of Rava Barvua that you have mitachle da'arla. Now mitachle da'arla is some sort of encasing on the fruit, right? A shell, a fruit shell. This is what's called an alacha shomer lapri. Now a shomer lapri has the same status as a pre. Now we're talking here regarding arla, but The point over here is that we're just looking at the status of when it has the status of a pre. We know that when it comes to the Yisr of Arla, any fruit that grows from a tree for the first 3 years after planting, so that applies to the fruit of the tree. So we're looking over here for the status of fruit. So the Chiddush of Rav Nachman is that this shells the around these dates have the status of a Shomer Lepri. Now you can only have the status of a Shomer Lepri if you're encased around a pre. Now, when do these shells grow around the fruit? At an early stage. At what stage? At the kufri stage. So you put these pieces of information together, so what do you get? What we get over here pretty clearly is that even at the early stage of development, the dates have a shame pre, and are therefore going to be usur. And now we're back to Rav Eli. Rav Eli, how are you cutting down that date tree during the Shemitah year? So Rav Nachman, Damakar Rav Yossi, did not. So the Gemara tries, and it tries to suggest the following. Yes, you're right regarding the sheet of Rav Nachman. But it happens to be that Rav Nachman is within a shita of a Tana, and that notably of Rav Yossi. And as the Gemara is about to argue, not everyone agrees with Rav Yossi. So basically what the Gemara is going to say is that the Tzemachlokes Tanayim, and Rav Nachman follows like only one opinion, and Rav Eli holds like the other opinion. Did not, or the Gemara over here quotes the Mishnah in Arla, Rav Yossi Amar Smadar, Asim Mimneshu Peri. So Rav Yossi is of the opinion that the Smadar is an early grape, the grape in its early developmental stage. So it's going to be prohibited because it has the status of being a pre. Upligi Rabban Allah, now the Chachamim argue on that position, Rabbi Yossi. So what the Gemara now is defending Rabbi Eli and saying is that the Rav Nachman position that the early date is considered a fruit that's going like Rabbi Yossi, and meanwhile Rabbi Eli, who chopped down the date tree, so he's holding like the Chachamim. Good. So Maskel Rav Shimi Min Arado, Mi Upligi Rabban Allah, the Rabbi Yossi B'Shar Ilano. So the Gemara says, look, it's a good attempt to defend Rabbi Eli, but it's not going to work because we know there's a machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, but the machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim is not as wide as you think it is. It's a narrow machlokas. It's only about grapes. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you how I know that. Vatanan. So here, a Mishnah. Mishnah in Shvius. Me'emasai en kotzitzin es ha'ilanos b'shvius. At what point in time can you not cut the wood during the Shemitah year? Meaning fruit is starting to grow on the trees, and so therefore you're not allowed to cut the wood because of the fruit. At what point in time does that become prohibited? Beit Shammai Amrim Kol Ilanos Mishiyotziu. So Beit Shammai says that once you see some blossoming, Rashi over here describes Beit Shammai's position, Tchilas Ha'alin B'mei Nisan, right? Just the leaves coming out, right? Rashi over here describes leaves. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that the Rashi and Bracha is a little bit different, but anyway, whatever the case is, Beit Shammai looks at a really early stage, and Beit Hillel Omrim, Hacha Ruvim Mishi Yishrishu, Vahagafanim Mishi Yigru, Vahazesim Mishi Yanitsu. So when it comes to different fruits, when it comes to the grapes, so again, early development, We're going to try to describe it a little bit better. Olives also early development. I skipped the boxer. So boxer, grapes, and olives. So at early development. Vishar kol ilan is mishiyotziu. But according to the Shita of Beis Hillel, when it comes to any other fruit, mishiyotziu. Meaning Beis Hillel basically agrees with Beit Shammai that it's at early stage of mishiyotziu. But it happens to be that when it comes to these three specific fruit, that of boxer and grape and olives, so then it's going to be a slightly later development. Now here's the Gemara's point. V'am Rav Asi hu boser hu girua hu pul alavan. So first we start off with a comment by Rav Asi. Rav Asi says that the word boser is synonymous with the term girua, which is also synonymous with the term pul alavan. Now the Gemara immediately corrects our understanding. Now pul alavan sakadacha. Now pul alavan is a bean, and we're talking about grapes over here. So what are we doing? So the Gemara says ela'ema shi'ura kupul alavan. So the Gemara says no. When he said pul alavan, he's just talking now about the size. In other words, look at the pul alavan. Look at some sort of white bean. So when the grape arrives at that size, it's at that point in time now that it has the status of boster, which is synonymous with girua. Uman shamale damar boster insmadar lo rabanan. So now let's put a lot of information together. We just learned a Mishnah in Shviyas that says that when it comes to the grapes, so according to Beis Hillel, Mishi Yagriu, that's Girua. We also know that Girua is synonymous with Boser. We now know that according to this position, that when the grapes arrive at this point of Boser, of Girua, so it's at that point in time that it's going to have the status of a pre. Now, who's of that position? So that's the position of the Chachamim, as we saw in the bottom of the previous Amud. Now, look back at the Mishnah Shviyas that we just did. The Ketani Sharkali Lanz Mishiyotziu. That when it comes to any other tree, Mishiyotziu, it's at that really early stage of development, of fruit development, that it already has the status of the fruit. So now, so we just take grapes, olives, and boxer out of the discussion. And now we have just concluded that when it comes to any other fruit, so at a really early stage of development, it has the status of a tree. Now, what was Rabbi Eli cutting down? He was cutting down a date tree. So that means to say that the date tree, even at a really early stage of development, has the status of a pri. And again, the pasuk says la achla velo lischara, or the Gemara's drasha over here is la achla velo lehafsed. So you eat it, but you can't destroy it. So once again, we're back to square one. Rabbi Eli cut down the date tree, even though the dates were at a really early stage of development, but the Gemara has just concluded, but according now to everybody, it has the status of a pri. You're not allowed to cut down a tree at that early stage. All this results in, what is Rabbi Eli doing? Well, we know what he's doing, but what justifies what he's doing? So, Ela Rabbi Eli, bidiniske cuts. So the Gemara says, okay, one more detail that will help us understand that he was in the right, he was not in the wrong, and that is that he cut down a male tree. Only recently, right, without going into too much detail, we planted a tree, a fruit-bearing tree, it didn't bear fruit. Anyway, we had somebody come along and teach us that it was a male tree. I'm still not totally convinced, but we have a Gemara. The Gemara says it over here. Rashi says it over here. So Rashi says, so Tamarim Shodakal Zachar. So Rashi says that it's a male tree. Ve'inam is bashlam bo olamis. So yes, there are dates over there, but the dates are never going to develop. They're never going to ripen. Ve'gojano sambenisan ve'in mitbashlot me'alehen. Bekli kapos tamarim. And then Rashi over here goes through a really interesting procedure, which is what we do, is that we take these dates, which on their own are never going to ripen. So we harvest them, we put them in some sort of wicker basket, right? You wrap them in palm. Ula olam hein ketanos. And there you can help the developmental stage. But on the tree itself, it's never going to develop. And so therefore, this is not considered a pre. Rashi writes, ula olam hein ketanos are always going to be small. So hilkach rabbi lai lo hifsin midi. Rabbi Eli did not cause a loss. In other words, this is never going to be fruit that is going to be developing and mature. It's a male tree. That's why Rabbi Eli did it, and that's why it was okay. All right, good. So that's the first part of today's daf. Rabbi Eli cut down a fruit tree during the Shemitah year. We have a halacha that the fruits of the Shemitah year that have Kedushas Perishvias, so before the Shas Abir, so you have to eat them. Eat them and you can't destroy them. Eat them and you can't do commercial activity with them. Good. So that's the... So that's the halacha. And so for the first part of today's daf, we just dealt with, we know that Rabbi Eli cut down a date tree during the Shemitah year. How could he do that? And so the Gemara defended his practice, but only after fully understanding what exactly happened over there. Tanu Rabbanan. We are continuing in the Gemara. We are on Nun Gimel Med Aleph. about 8 lines from the top of the Amud, Braisa, we're back to Zman Bir. We're finishing up till the Mishnah, talking more about the Shas Bir. That at a point in time, so the Peiros Shvias have to be, again, like the Rambam, destroyed. Lamaisa, by the way, nowadays we don't do that. We don't destroy the Peiros Shvias and Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. We are mafkir them. Okay, that's because not everyone's in agreement with the Rambam. It's also because that Shvias Bizman is a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Araisa. Okay, anyway, but Ochlin Ba'anavim, so basically, when is the end of the Zman Achila for all these fruits? Now, the answer is actually really simple. When they're no longer out in the field, but what the Gemara is going to do now is it's going to quantify when is that point exactly? So Ochlin Ba'anavim Ashi Yichlu D'Liyo Shal Ukal. So as long as there are still grapes and vines in the town of Ukal, that's the name of a town, right? I really struggled with the Gemara in terms of preparing, right? Dalio Shal Ochel, right? I didn't understand what was going on. Anyway, Rashi says, right? It's the name of a town. So as long as you have vines that are producing grapes in Ukal, so then that means to say basically that, typically speaking, in a typical year, that's where you're going to find the last grapes of the season. So that will be the marker in terms of identifying when the Zman Achila is over. So, Im Yesh Meuchars Mehem Ochlos Aleim. Now, if it happens to be that it's not a typical year, it's somewhat unusual, and grapes are growing somewhere to a later point in time, so those grapes are going to be able, those grapes that are on the field, are going to be able to extend the Zman Achila. Now, as far as olives are concerned, so we look to the town of Tekoa to find when the last olives are going to be growing, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Menachos, Tekoa Alpha L'Shemen. The best place where you're going to find the best olive oil is in the town of Tekoa. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Ashechala Achron Shogush Chalav, Kideshi Ani Yosef Enamosi Lo Begufa Velo Bikara Rova. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he looks to a different town, the town of Gush Chalav. And as long as there's enough over there where you have a poor person going and getting the olives from the branches, not from the base of the tree. And as long as you're able to get a rova, right, that's just a volume amount. So at that point in time, you could still eat the olives. It's still considered a shas achila of the Peiros Shvias. Ochlin begrogros, now we're up to dates. So far we did grapes, olives, now we're up to dates. Begrogros hachichala panei base hini. So the dates, you're going to go to the town of Beis Hini, and you're going to find the last dates of the season growing in Beis Hini. Am Rabbi Yehuda lo iskru page Beis Hini, ela li yemaiser, page Beis Hini v'yahini detovina chayavim v'maiser. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you got the town right, but you got the halacha wrong. Yes, there's a town called Beis Hini, but as far as the dates are concerned over there, we said the halacha over there is that the dates that grow in the town of Beis Hini are in fact subject to the halachas of Meiser. Why would there have been a havamina that they're not chayv and Meiser? Not totally clear, not perfectly clear, but nevertheless, that's Rashi says they're small. Maybe you would have thought that they're not subject to Meiser. Anyway, the town of Beis Hini has nothing to do with the shas achila of Peiros Shvias. It has to do with the halachas of Meiser. Anyway, finally, ochlin b'tamarim. So I'm sorry, grogros or figs, sorry. And now the ochlin b'tamarim, now we're up to our fourth fruit, and that's dates, ayichal achron shebitzoar. So we look to the town of Tzoar producing the last dates of the season. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer ochlin al shel bein akifin, bein ochlin al shel bein hashitzim. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, yes, we're looking for the dates, but the dates up in the tree, not the dates found in the thorns of the base of the palm tree. Meaning that's not going to extend the season. Hopefully that should sound familiar, that line of Rishon ben Gamliel. So we just covered in yesterday's daf. Viri minhu. Okay, so what do we have right now? Four fruit that are mentioned in the Braisa, in terms of when the season is over and when we can no longer eat the Peiros Shvias. So you're going to be looking to various towns throughout Eretz Yisrael in terms of when it's going to be the last of the season. Uri minhu, the Gemara now is going to be challenging based on the following. Ochlim anavim ad Pesach v'zeisim ad hateres v'grogros ad Chanukah v'tamarim ad Depurim. As far as these four fruits are concerned, so here in this Braisa, instead of talking about towns and the last town producing the last fruit of the season, so here in the Braisa we're just looking at the calendar. When it comes to grapes, basically you have until Pesach. Olives you have until Shavuos. Figs you have until Chanukah. Dates you have until Purim. Okay, and that's the Braisa. V'am Rabibi, Rav Yochanan taught the Basraisa Machlif. And Rabibi says that when Rav Yochanan taught the Braisa, so what he did is he flipped around Hanukkah and Purim for dates and figs. He had Hanukkah going to dates and Purim going to figs. Anyway, what comes out now is that this Braisa over here is not talking about towns and the last time that the fruit are growing in particular towns, but it's talking about the calendar. So the answer, really simple answer, probably would have guessed it. The Gemara says, okay, we're looking at the same thing. We're just talking about it from two different perspectives. The first Bryce was just talking about when the last town is producing the last fruits of the season. And the second Bryce is just telling us that typically, when in that calendar do we expect that to come? That's all. Another way to solve for this problem, it's not such a big problem, the stereo between the two brises, is that one brise is giving us the standard time and when the season is over, but also there's extensions. As long as there's still fruit out in the field, so that will extend the season. So one brise is just simply telling us when to typically expect the season to be over, and the other brise is telling us that where can we look for in terms of getting an extension of eating the Peir Shviyas? Tanya. We are on the first wide line of the daf, halfway down on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We are continuing in this discussion a little bit more. Shimon Gamliel Omer Simon Laharim Milin. Okay, mountains. How do you know when it's a mountain? Aside from the fact that there's an elevation and there's a peak and you know all that. But to have the status of being a mountain, what am I looking for? So I'm looking for milin. Milin are gallnut trees. I think it's a tree. I'm not really sure, but it doesn't matter. Simon la amakim de kalim. Now, as far as the valley is concerned, so for that you're gonna be looking for palm trees. Simon la nachalim kanim. You're looking for a stream. So there you're gonna find reeds as a simon that this in fact is a stream. And simon la shvela shikma. Now, as far as the lowlands are concerned, so you're going to be looking for a sycamore tree. V'afa pishen raila davar zechla davar. Now, I don't have a beferish pasuk that speaks about it, but I do have a pasuk that alludes to it. Shinamar, the pasuk says, v'yiten ha-melchus ha-kesef b'yushalayim ka'avanim ve'etz ha-razim na'asan kishkamim asher b'shvela l'rov. Okay, so the pasuk over here alludes to the fact that when you're in the lowlands, so there's going to be sycamore trees in the lowlands. Okay, good. So now, how do I know it's a mountain? So I'm going to see the golden tree. The Gemara says, that's great. This is a work on halacha, right? Gemara is halacha. So as far as we're concerned, why do we legally care in terms of whether or not it's a mountain or it's not a mountain? Good question. That's the Gemara's question. So simon laharim milin, simon laamakim dekalim nafkamina libikurim. So as far as knowing what is considered a mountain, what's considered a valley, so that is for the mitzvah of Bikurim. Now we have a Mishnah. Ein mevim Bikurim ela mishivas aminim. So first of all, Bikurim can only be brought from the seven aminim that's mentioned in Parshas Ekev. V'lo midekalim shebaharim v'lo miperisha ba'amakim. And palm trees out in the mountains and fruit coming from the valleys. So qualitatively, they're not the best. Rashi over here gives a description. That for the mitzvah of Bikurim, so it's got to be the best, right? You can see the Rashi, Divra Amaskal Kishkamim Asher B'Shvela. So Rashi writes over there, look at the last narrow line of Rashi. V'Bikurim Ksiv Asher Tavim Artzacha, V'Darshin B'Menachos Nemer Kan Artzacha V'Nemer Lahalan Eretz Chitao Sa'ora. So good, so we have a Gzer Shava, and Rashi quotes the Gemara Menachos, Ma Lahalan Shevach Eretz, Da'Bishvacha Kasim Medaber, Afkan Shevach Eretz. So for the mitzvah of Bikurim, you're looking at not just the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, but the fruit that is most praiseworthy. And so therefore, the fruit that grows in the mountain, the fruit that grows in the valley, are not the most praiseworthy. And so therefore, they are not eligible to be brought as Bikurim. Good. So when I have something that qualifies as a mountain, and I now know my simen, and when I have a valley that qualifies as a valley, and now I have my simen, so those are the fruit that cannot be brought for Bikurim. Simen lenachalim kanim. Now, as far as the streams are concerned, you're going to be looking for reeds, nafkamina, lenachaleisan. So you're going to do the procedure of the agla rufa. You need a nachaleisan. How do I know I have a nachal? So I'm going to look for the reeds. And similar shvela shikma, nafkamina, lemeka chomemkar. Now, in terms of lowlands, you're going to look for the sycamore trees. Why does that matter halachically? So the Gemara says in commerce, in buying and selling. So let's say the seller tells me this is a lowland. It is a shvela. And we agree now that I'm going to be making the purchase of property, which has the status of being a shvela. And now I purchased the property and I'm looking for my sycamore trees and not a single sycamore tree. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to avoid the sale. In other words, by sales, there are certain assumptions that are made in a sale, inherent in a sale. And if those basic assumptions are not met, so this is what's called an alaka mekach taos, and avoids the sale. So the seller tells me he's selling me a shvela. And I turn around and after having purchased it, I go out there. Yeah, I probably should have looked at it beforehand, but I go out there and I didn't find a sycamore tree. So basically I'm going to go back to seller. I'm going to say, good, we have just voided the contract. Good. That's what's called mekach taos. So the Gemara says, good. Now, once we have this nafkamina, so then we can go back to the previous three, and we can say that we can add this nafkamina to the previous three as well. Right? I just purchased a mountain. I went to the mountaintop. I didn't find a single gold nut. Okay, mekach taos. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. We're in Gemara Medal for continuing now here as we continue in our discussion regarding min hagim. The Mishnah opens up now with a minhag of not selling small animals. Makam shenagu limkor behem adaka lenachrim mochrim. Makam shenagu limkor ein mochrim. So, some communities developed a minhag not to sell small animals to a non-Jew. Now, this is a minhag. It's not a bona fide gzera de rabbanan. So, if your community subscribes to the minhag, great. And if you live in a community that does not subscribe to the minhag, that's also fine. But what you're not allowed to do under any circumstance is sell to the Nachri a large animal. Okay, there's a lot to discuss over here. What's the issue with small animal, large animal? So let's start with large animal. Because there's a halacha. The Gemara over here, it's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, says that you're not allowed to sell large animals to a Nachri, so why not? So you take a look at Rashi right over here. So as far as Behem Agassa is concerned, Rashi writes, the Gazer Bei Rabbanim Mishum She'ela Umishum Schirus Umishum Nisyuni. So the Gemara of Avodah Zarah brings down three reasons. They're all very similar to one another in terms of why it is that you're not allowed to sell a large animal to a Nachri, and that's the following. Because if we get into the habit of selling him an animal, so then what may end up happening is I may lend him an animal. I may rent him an animal. I'll get to Nisyuni in just a moment. Now, what the problem with that is the following. If I either lend or rent, so that means that animal belongs to who? It belongs to the Jew. And now we know that there's an Isser in the Torah of Shvisas Behema. Shvisas Behema tells us that an animal of a Jew is not allowed to work on Shabbos if you rent out your animal for over the course of Shabbos. So you, the owner of the animal, now are going to be in violation of Shvisas Behema. So what the Chachamim said is that in order to put a fence around the Torah, so not only are you obviously not allowed to rent and you're not allowed to lend, but you're also not allowed to sell as well. That's a gzera derabanan. This is a formal gzera derabanan. Nisyuni, by the way, is like a test drive. Meaning even in the case of a sale, let's say it's right before Shabbos and the guy says, it's a good animal. And I'm like, sure, it's a good animal. And you start barking orders at the animal, and the animal now is working based on your instruction. And it happens to be that this test drive is going into Shabbos. Okay, so again, that would be a violation of Shabbos. So for these reasons, the Chachamim gave a formal gzeira that one is not allowed to sell animals to a non-Jew. Now, as far as small animals are concerned, small animals are not going to be working. And so therefore, there really is no concern of Shvisas Behema. And there's no possibility that you'll be in violation of Shvisas Behema by small animals. However, as Rashi points out, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, some communities took it upon themselves that they're not selling small animals to a non-Jew. Atu, they're going to be selling large animals. Rashi writes, Dehichmira Alatzman Dilma Asalim Kor Gasa. Well, there is a formal gzera de rabbanan not to sell large animals, so some communities took it upon themselves that they're not even going to sell small animals as well. Now, it does sound like that it's a gzera l'gzera, but the minhag is not a gzera in of itself, meaning they just took it upon themselves to be more machmir, right? It's not a formal gzera, right? The gzera of Behem Agasa, that's a formal gzera. And that becomes now universal. That's accepted by everybody. But in terms of the minhag of not selling small animals, it's not a gzera. It's just simply a minhag of a group of a particular community that for whatever reason felt that they need to be machmer on this particular issue. Good. That's all the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. We're back in the Mishnah. Agalim, Sayachim, Shlemim, Shivurim. That when it comes to animals, you can't sell any kind of large animal, even if it's a broken animal. Now, broken animal, meaning that it's not going to do work, still included in the gzera. Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shvur, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you can actually sell a broken animal. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda believes that there is an exception, an exclusion of broken animals from the gzeira. Because the whole gzeira was so that the animal doesn't work, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the position, okay, but this animal is not going to work, the animal is broken, right? It's got a broken leg. So Ben B'Seira Matir B'Sus, Ben B'Seira says that you're allowed to sell a horse. Typically speaking, a horse is only for riding. Riding on a horse is not an Isser D'Araisa, right? We have the principle of Chayno Seis Atzma. We discussed the Ben B'Seira position in Shabbos back on Daf Tzadi Dalet. Good. So Ben B'Seira says that you are in fact allowed to sell a horse. Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzli. Okay, good. I'm sorry. That's the end of the first part of the Mishnah regarding minhagim of selling small animals to a nachri, and also what does the gzeira derabbanan of large animals incorporate? All animals, even animals that can't work, does it incorporate also horses as well? Good. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah. Makom shenagu lechol tzli b'leile psachim ochlin. Makom shenagu shelo lechol ein ochlin. Now, in terms of roasted animals, so some have the minhag of eating a roasted animal on the night of Pesach, and some have the minhag of not eating a roasted animal on the night of Pesach. The minhag of not eating a roasted animal on the night of Pesach. So Rashi writes over here, shelo lechol de mechzei ka'ochel Pesach b'chutz. It looks like you didn't carve Pesach outside the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the Mishnah is describing Bizman Hazeh, where there's no Beis HaMikdash. So now, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, obviously we're not offering carve Pesach. So it happens to be now that we're sitting down at the Seder, and we don't have a carve Pesach, but if you are eating roasted meat, it looks like you're eating carve Pesach. Obviously you're not. You didn't offer it as a carve Pesach. There is no Beis HaMikdash, but it looks like that. And so therefore, as an appearance issue is concerned, so now it looks like you're eating Karim Pesach outside of the area of Yerushalayim. Obviously, that's an Isser. So the Mishnah points out that some took it upon themselves not to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach. This minhag, obviously, is took off, meaning this minhag is universally accepted, that we don't have roasted meat at the Seder night. We're going to start with the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Aser lo la'adam shiomar, Basar zeh la'Pesach. Who? Mimnei sheniru kemakdish b'amtar v'ochel kashe b'chutz. Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, tax on another Isser. I'm not saying that he was the one who instituted it, but whatever. He's the one that is saying it over. And that is that a person cannot say that this meat is l'Pesach. Now, even though he's saying this meat is l'Pesach, all he really is saying is, you know, let's buy this piece of meat for Pesach. That's what he's saying. That in of itself is not a problem. The problem, however, is, once again, it's an appearance issue. If he's saying it's lib Pesach, it looks like what he's trying to do is he's trying to be makdish this animal as a carbon Pesach. And of course, we don't have a base of mikdash. And if in fact it was a carbon Pesach, you're eating it outside of the base of mikdash. Now, obviously, it's not a carbon Pesach because, right, we don't have a base of mikdash. It's really that simple. But by virtue of the fact that you're saying such a thing and it gives off that appearance, so we don't want to give off this appearance. This is really a continuation of the Mishnah's idea that if you eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach, it looks like you're eating carbon Pesach outside Yerushalayim here too as well. If you say that this meat is lib Pesach for Pesach, so then you are giving off that appearance. Amra Papa Dafka Basav Achiti Lo. Demintel Pesach Kamar. So, and this halacha says, Rav Papa, that you're not allowed to say this meat is for Pesach. It's only limited to meat. But if you want to say that this wheat is for Pesach, that's fine, because everyone understands what you mean. You just simply mean that the wheat, we're saving this wheat to be used to bake our matzah. Ubasalom Meitzvei. The Gemara says, now wait one second. When it comes to meat, this really is an issue. Meaning you really can't say that this meat is for Pesach. So the Gemara says, why don't we consider the following brisa? Amar Rabbi Yossi. Tudus ish romi, hinig es bnei romi, lechol gedim ukulasim b'lei lipsachim. So we have this individual, this personality by the name of Tudus. He was ish romi, which means that he lived in Rome, or somewhere thereabouts. And as far as the Jews of Rome were concerned, so he had the following minug. And that is that he would eat a roasted goat. Gedim ukulasim. Now, in terms of the term itself, gedim ukulasim, it was roasted in the same manner that we roasted the Karban Pesach. We're going to talk about this later in the Masechta in terms of how the Karban Pesach is roasted. Right, we'll go through all the details later on. For our purposes right now, just suffice to say that it was a roasted goat roasted in the same manner that it, when we when once upon a time we had the Beis Hamikdash, it was roasted in the very same manner. And that's the minute that Tudas Yishron we started. And so messages, correspondence was sent to Tudas, and the Rabbanim say to him, look, it happens to be that you're Tudas, and so we're not going to do anything against your practice, but if you would have been anyone other than Tudas, I'm telling you what we would have done, we would have put you in Cherim. Shata Machos, Yisrael Kashim Mechutz. So what you're doing is that you're serving kashim to the Jewish people outside of Yerushalayim, meaning you're in Rome, and you are giving off the impression that you're eating kashim outside. Now kashim sakadachei ema karov lahechel es Yisrael kashim mechutz. Now Tudus is not being makdish the animal; it's not a karban. But once again, the Gemara just quickly clarifies. Is now we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, and that is it gives the appearance. It looks as if you're eating kashim bechutz. Now, what exactly is giving off that appearance? What's giving off the appearance is that Tudor started this minug, that the way that we used to roast the goats in Pesach when we had a Beis HaMikdash, right, this Gedi Mekulas, which we're going to describe later in the Masechta much better. But the way that they did it back then, so Tudor says, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but let's roast it in the same exact manner. Okay, just without the fact that it's a carbon. But just to remind ourselves of what it used to be, we're going to roast in the same exact manner. So what the Gemara now is being medayek is the idea that only because it was roasted in this manner, that's what really got the Chachamim upset. And the Gemara says exactly that point. Mekulas in, she'en mekulas lo. So it's only because he roasted it in such a specific manner that reminded us of how the Karban Pesach was actually roasted. Only that really got the Chachamim upset. Anything short of that, and there really isn't a problem. So if I say that this meat is for Pesach, what the Gemara now is trying to argue is that's not going to be a problem. It's only a problem when you're really doing something that is reminiscent of the Karban Pesach itself. So the Gemara's answer is like this. No. The Amrei Mekulas Loshna Amar, Loshna Amar. Look, if you're roasting the meat on Pesach in such a specific manner, so then it doesn't matter what you say. At that point in time, it really looks like kashim b'chutz. But she'ena makulas, however, if it's not roasted, so pirshin lo pirsh lo. So then, if you specify and you say that this is for Pesach, that's going to be a problem. And if you don't specify, then it's going to be fine. Okay, so the Gemara says that the halacha of Rav Yehuda Merav is still in force. It just happens to be that Tudus didn't say anything, but his action spoke really loudly. Ravachim asni lalaham asni sin karebi Shimon. So now, as far as Ravach is concerned, so he says that the position of Tudus, so that follows like the shita of Rebbe Shimon. Now, in a moment, we're going to explain this a lot better. Which Rebbe Shimon? What are we talking about over here? Now, Bishlam. Okay, I'm sorry. Maskev l'Rav Sheshes Bishlam l'mandat nidle k'Rabbi Yossi Nicha. Now, if you learn the halacha of Tudus in the like the Shita Rabbi Yossi, that's very good. Elamanda masti k'Rabbi Shimon minicha, but to say it's going like Rabbi Shimon, it's not going to work out. Now, what's going on over here? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, what are we talking about? V'hatanan Rabbi Shimon poter shlo is nadiv k'nerachem is nadvim. So the Gemara just gives us a quick excerpt of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says it's not going to be kadosh. Why? Because you didn't do it in the usual fashion. So, right, Rashi over here gives the example. Let's say you turn to barley and you say, I'm offering a mincha from barley. Now, there is no mincha from barley. Mincha comes from wheat. Notable exceptions on the second day of Pesach, but a mincha comes from wheat. And if I say I'm going to offer mincha from this barley, so I'm trying to be makdish the barley for a carbon mincha, so according to the Shita Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't work. Why? Because that's not how a person makes an adava. And according to Rabbi Shimon, what we're going to do is basically just simply ignore his statement. So under those circumstances, it does not have any kedusha whatsoever. So the same thing is going to be true over here, meaning that when I have the meat that I'm roasting for Pesach, and I say this is for Pesach, and let's go even further than that. Let's do it like Tudus is doing it, which is I'm roasting it in the same manner, but by virtue of the fact that it's after the animal's already been shechted, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, and so at that point in time, So if you subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, basically it doesn't have any Kedusha whatsoever. And Tudus was subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, that if you're being Makdish in a manner that is simply, has no effect whatsoever, so then it just, we just ignore your statement. So the Gemara is saying that Tudus really follows the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi Man Damasa like Rabbi Yosi Minicha. So the Gemara says, okay, but even if I'm going to align it together with the Shita Rabbi Yosi, it's not going to work. Va'amar Rav Rabbi Shimon b'Shitas Rabbi Yosi Amra. Da'ama Af b'Gemar Dvarav Adam Nitfas. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Rabbi Shimon, in order to subscribe to this viewpoint, he has to incorporate the view of Rabbi Yosi. What is the view of Rabbi Yosi? So we said this a number of times in Seder Kachim. So here in Pesachim, we're going to say this also a number of times. And that is according to Rabbi Yossi, when you make a declaration, you must take the totality of the statement in order to process a person's declaration. When a person makes a statement like, let's use our example, that I'm going to offer a karban mincha min ha-sa'orim. So when I said I'm going to offer a karban mincha, so if we stop the sentence right there, that's a full sentence, which means now that you are on the hook to bring a karban mincha. The fact that you said min ha-sa'orim, so if I don't take the totality of the statement, I could just ignore that last part. Rav Yossi says, no, you can't do that. Rav Yossi says that when a person makes a statement, you must process the entirety of that statement. So that means that Rabbi Shimon, who says that when a person says, I'm going to bring a mincha from sa'orim, so Rabbi Shimon says, just ignore what he said. In other words, because he's not being makdish in a normal manner, we get to just simply ignore it. The Gemara is now noting that the Shita Rabbi Shimon is operating within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. That afilu b'gemar dvar of adam nitfas, that you have to take the totality of the statement. And so the Gemara now is bothered by the fact that if you're subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, so by definition that means that you also have to be subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So my love mid Rabbi Shimon sevelak Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi nami sevelak Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says now. Doesn't it work in both directions? Meaning, if Rabbi Shimon has to subscribe to Rabbi Yossi, doesn't Rabbi Yossi have to subscribe to Rabbi Shimon? And the Gemara's response is, well, Rabbi Shimon sevelak like Rabbi Yossi. No, it's true. Rabbi Shimon does have to subscribe to Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi sevelak like Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Yossi does not have to subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so, when all said and done, Tudus, who basically is making his Seder And the meat at his Seder look exactly like the meat that was offered in the Beis HaMikdash. And the idea that, isn't it going to be a problem of being Makdashit? And doesn't it at least look like Kachin Bechutz? So the Gemara says no, because, the position of Tudus follows the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who coupled together with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, basically if he says that this meat is Lib Pesach, you ignore it. Because again, it's not Kederach Hamis Nadvim. Right, the meat has already been shechted. It just simply is not it's not going to be an issue altogether, according to Tudus. Ibailahu. Now the Gemara over here is bothered, but curious over the following. So now, after having gone through a couple of minhagim regarding the meat of the Seder night, our Mishnah brought down that many have the minhag not to roast meat the Seder night. By the way, we've all accepted that minhag of not to roast meat for the Seder night. It looks like. We're eating Karban Pesach outside. Obviously we're not, but at least it gives off that appearance. We have another halacha brought down in the Gemara of Yehuda Merav that you can't even say Basar Zela Pesach, right? Again, it gives off the impression, it gives off the appearance. And then we had the practice of Tudus, which was controversial. And Tudus, what he did is he roasted his goat for Pesach, meaning he lived post Beis HaMikdash, and he roasted his goat for Pesach in the same exact manner that we once upon a time did when we had the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chachamim sent a letter, and the Chachamim said to him, we do not like your behavior. However, we're not going to condemn you. We're not going to censor you because you're Tudus. And the Gemara now wants to know what exactly was there. Were they reverential of Tudus because he was a big time Chacham, or did he just simply have a lot of political pull, political clout? Good question. That's the Gemara's question. Ibai lohu Tudus Yishrami Gavirabahu Obal Egrofin Hava. Was he a tremendous Talmud Chacham, or was he just somebody who was politically really strong? Tashma, the Gemara says, I'll tell you. I know the answer. Ozed Darish Tudus Yishrami Ma Reu Chananya Mishal Vazari Shemasu Atzmam Akedushas Hashem Lekivshan Ha'esh. So the Gemara now has another statement of to this Yishrami. And the basic point of the Gemara is going to be is that we see that he is engaged in halacha, in making kavachomers. The Gemara is going to basically argue he's a Tamil Chacham. Anyway, what's this particular what's this particular kavachomer? So, Hanani Mishael Azariah, living in the same time period as Daniel. So they were sent into the Kivshana Ish and they went right in there. The reason why they did so is because Nasu Kavachomer Batsman. So they made a Kavachomer for themselves. Mitzavar Da'im from the frogs. Okay, perfectly works out in terms of partios. So from the frogs. Uma Tzvardeim She'in Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. So, and now we know that Tzvardeah is not obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. They don't have to sacrifice themselves al Kiddush Hashem. And nevertheless, Ksibahu Va'u Va'alu Beveisecha Uvetanarecha Uvemishar Osecha. Good, and they went into the ovens. The Amosai Misharos Mitzuyan Eitzol Tanur Haviyomer Bishasha Tanur Cham. Now, at that point in time, the ovens were lit. So that means that when the frogs jumped into the oven, so the frogs were doing an act of Kiddush Hashem. Now, we all understand, every one of us, they're frogs, they're not chayiv. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed them to do so, they did so. Anu shemitzum HaKadosh Hashem, alach eskabim v'chama. So now we are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So for sure we should jump in. That is the kavachama that's made. Much discussion to be had regarding the kavachomer and the logical flow of the two points over here, but nevertheless, you see at least that Todos Ishromi, so he was a Tamil Chacham, and so so in terms of the Chachamim not censoring him, so it's because he was a Tamil Chacham. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Amar Matol Malay Lakishol Tamid Chachamim Haya. So Rabbi Yossi bar Avin gives a different take on Todos Ishromi, and that was he was a supporter of Talmidei Chachamim, right? He always financially supported Talmidei Chachamim. Da'am Rav Yochanan, kol amato mile kis lekis Talmidei Chachamim zochav yoshev yeshiva shamalo shenemar ki betzala chachma betzala kesef. Based on the pasuk in Kohelis, if you support Talmidei Chachamim, so you're going to get a chelik, you're going to get a place in the yeshiva shamala. So so that's the Todos Ishromi. So a slightly different take. It wasn't exactly Tamil Chacham, but the respect and the reverence that the Chachamim had towards Todos Ishromi is because he supported Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, good. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Our next minhag of the day. Makom shenagu la'adlik esaner b'leila yom kippur madlikin. Makom shenagu shelo la'adlik ein madlikin. So there were various minhagim in terms of whether or not a light should be lit over the course of Yom Kippur. Some had the minhag where they would have a light lit in the bedroom on Yom Kippur. Some would have the minhag not to light a light in the bedroom. We'll see why in just a moment. However, right, light is helpful in shul. Light is helpful in the base medrash. Also in the streets, in the alleyways. And also over the head of somebody who's sick. So for those lights, they obviously have a positive benefit. And obviously for Yom Kippur, they should be lit, obviously, before Yom Kippur. Gemara starts off the discussion, Tana ben Shamru, Lahalik ben Shamru, Shalom Lahalik Shnem Ladavar Echa Niskavnu. Now in terms of the various minhagim, of whether you should be lighting a light in the bedroom or not, so whichever minhag you follow, it was for the same goal, was for the same purpose, and that is to try to prevent husband and wife from having Tashmish Amita. There are five Inuyim on Yom Kippur. One of the Inuyim is Tashmish Amita. And so there was a difference of opinion of how to make sure that husband and wife don't engage in Tashmish Amita. So some communities thought that would be better if there was a light lit in the bedroom. It would remind the couple not to engage in Tashmish Amita. Some thought that having no light over there, we don't see each one another. So that would help prevent the couple from having Tashmish Amita. So they were both involved in the same basic goal. I'm Rav Yeshua Darsh Rava Vamechulam Sadikim Lolam Yeshu Aretz. So Bein Shamar Lahadlik Bein Shamar Shalol Lahadlik Shneim Lo Niskavu Ela Davar Echad. And the Gemara says that the intentions were all good intentions. The Jewish people are righteous people, and in each of the Minhagim reflected the same goal. In other words, they wanted to try to comply with the Torah as best as possible, and to try to prevent the husband from having Tashmish Shemita on Lel Yom Kippur. So that's what each of the Minhagim were trying to achieve, and just a difference of opinion of how to arrive at that goal. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here, and let's review. We start off our morning by going over the episode of Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Eli cutting down the date tree during the Shemitah year. The Gemara says, cutting down the date tree during the Shemitah year, losing all those dates, they have the Kedusha of Peres Shviyas, they have to be eaten. So, Elachla Velola Hefsted, how could he do that? So the Gemara spent a good amount of time trying to understand what justified his action of cutting down the date tree. When all said and done, the Gemara says that the date tree under discussion was a particular date tree. It was a male date tree, and so therefore it really was never going to mature and it was never going to develop. Okay, the Gemara continued its discussion on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph regarding the Zman Achila, and when does the Zman Beer begin for Paris with Kedusha Shvias. We went over this morning the time periods for grapes, olives, figs, and dates. We quoted two brises, each one of them marking off one based on the season in certain towns. Second one marking it on the calendar. The Gemara says they could really be describing the same thing. Good. What makes a mountain? What makes a valley? What makes a stream? And what makes a lowland? So there are certain simanim, telltale signs that gives us the status of what's a mountain, valley, stream, and lowland. And the Gemara says for various halachic reasons, it's important for us to know that. And in general also, it's good for us to know that based on just simple commercial activity. And then the Mishnah starts off with another minhag on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, of selling small animals. Selling large animals is a gzera derabbanan, and one's not allowed to sell large animal to non-Jews. Selling small animals, so some communities took on the minhag of not selling small animals as well, as kind of like an extension of the gzera of selling large animals. We went over this morning why the Chachamim made a gzera of not selling large animals. Roasting meat for the Seder night. So some communities have the minhag not to roast meat for the Seder night. Some communities do roast the meat for the Seder night. As we pointed out, it has become almost a universally accepted minhag not to roast meat for the Seder night. The Gemara adds not to point to a piece of meat and saying that this meat is for Pesach. You give the impression that you're eating kachim b'chutz. And then we noted the practice of Todos Ish Romi, who out in Rome, so we had the Jews of Rome roasting meat the same way that we used to roast meat when we had the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chachamim basically sent them correspondence then and said, we don't like what you're doing. You are, on the other hand, Todos Ish Romi. We're not gonna censor you. We won't excommunicate you. But boy, we don't like what you're doing. And then the Gemara spent a little bit of time noting that the position of Todos Ish Romi may be following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. How exactly do Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi intersect with one another? Right, that was a bit of a complicated matter. But anyway, that was Todos Ish Romi. He was a Talmid Chacham, or was he just simply politically powerful? So the Gemara asked that question. Sounds like the Gemara's position is that he was a Talmid Chacham. He made a Kavah Chomer. Okay, that gives him Talmid Chacham status. The Gemara did have another version, and that he supported Talmid Chachamim. And finally, the last minhag that we covered this morning is the minhag of lighting lights on Lel Yom Kippur. So, meaning, obviously, you're not lighting it on Yom Kippur itself. You're lighting it before Yom Kippur. But should there be light in the bedroom on Lel Yom Kippur? Some communities have a minhag, they do. Some don't. But as the Gemara pointed out, all for the same goal, for the same purpose, to try to create further distance between husband and wife so they don't have Tashmish Amita on the night of Yom Kippur.